I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about money, okay? That's not what I'm referring to with Pastor Dan. But it's not solely about money, okay? But it's about somewhat about money, and it's in our series. I spoke on this subject about 3 years ago, and the Lord really led me to this passage again as we come to this part in our Joshua series, our spiritual geography series. And I want you to just remain open-minded. It's not, nobody's going to take another offering. Nobody's going to strong-arm you. I pray that in the next few moments, as we preach this word, that you would sense my jealousy for your life. That I think you know me well enough, my wife and I, we only want what's God's best for all of our lives. Amen? And if it lines up with the word of God today, would you receive it? For some of you, this will be no big deal. You'll say, man, go for it because I'm living that way. Others of you, you know what? You're not there yet. And that's okay. As long as you receive the word and apply it to your life today. Now, my friend Dan will tell you that he had a decision to make a few years ago. Right, Pastor Dan? And he said this to me. He said, it wasn't me saying, aha. But he said, Brad, if I had listened to you way back then, I could have saved myself about a couple years of hurt. And so Dan would say that to you today. Listen to the pastor as he preaches the word. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua. I want to talk to you about first things. Say first things. Say first things first. You see, we're in this series on spiritual geography. And we're looking at God's abundant blessings for our lives. We've moved out of Egypt, the children of Israel did. They wandered in the wilderness. Egypt was sin. The wilderness was carnality. It was frustration. It wasn't all that God had for them. Remember, we used the illustration, it's kind of like residing or traveling in the cargo bin, or at least in coach class, when God wants you to be in first class. He wants you to experience his abundant blessings. Because God always has more for us. He wants to take us to new places. He's got new times for all of us and all of his children. And the blessings of God, you need to understand this, they're not always automatic. I'll repeat that again. They're not always automatic. Sometimes it would appear that they are, but not always. You see, when they moved into Canaan, we talked about this last week via video, right? That there was Jerichos to conquer. They didn't have any battles out in the wilderness, but they didn't have any victories. And the fact of the matter is, it won't always be easy. But there is in our lives the idea that we've got to do battle with the enemy. And we have to defeat him. How many of you want to defeat the enemy? I don't want to come to a stalemate with him. I want to defeat the enemy. I want the enemy to be defeated in my life. But also, we are victorious because we develop spiritual disciplines in our lives. Disciplines that we're learning as we study the life of Joshua. I hope you've understood that subliminal message in all of these words that have been given to us. You say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor, to be victorious? Well, we've talked about being strong. That there needs to be a strength about our life. What did the word say to the life of Joshua? The Lord said, be strong and courageous. Be very strong. Be very courageous. We talked about big courage in our lives. Be strong, courageous, consecrated. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things, Joshua told the children of Israel in Joshua 3. They're the sign of a victor, a conqueror. A person has what Rhonda just talked about a moment ago, and she didn't know what I was going to speak on, but she said, in our lives, there ought to be this attitude of gratitude, of gratefulness about our lives, that we understand that everything that we have, because we're believing for bigger and better things and advancement in our lives, we ought to be grateful. We ought to recognize everything that we have has come from Almighty God. And just as we stated last week, Brighton, by that message on Jericho, you and I, we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by the scientific method. We walk by the spiritual method, by faith. Sometimes it's not going to add up in the ledger sheets. The pros and cons, you just putting it on a piece of paper, hey, this makes sense in my mind. That's not always going to be how it is in our lives. The victorious Christian, sometimes they shout down the walls. We look at that they shouted and the walls came tumbling down. Praising God was part of the discipline to give them victory. But now as we enter chapter 7, we see the people. You say, well, why aren't we reading the word? We'll read the word as we go along in the message today, a little bit different presentation. But we see the people are living in victory. They're conquerors. They really understand and obey a particular law that we're going to talk about today. It's a particular law that we'll see in the tail end of chapter 6 and all of chapter 7. And there's a law in Scripture, Brighton, hear me, that is as certain as the law of gravity. It's the law of first things. The law of first things has two directives. First, I'm going to try and explain the law, and then we're going to apply it regarding the passage that we've come to starting in Jericho last week, and we pursue even as we talk about the word today. When it comes to Joshua chapter 7, we'll see it in this text that it's primarily, the fact is that it's a law of first things when we come to Joshua 7. Now look up here a second. Sometimes when I have preached on Joshua chapter 7, I've gone to back to that passage in Numbers that my mom always used to repeat to me, be sure your sins will find you out. And certainly that could be used in Joshua 7, and I may even preach on that next week or the week after because it's applicable there. Sometimes you may look and you could be able to apply from Joshua 7, thou shalt not steal. And it would be applicable to the passage. There's nothing wrong with that. No preacher has been out of line when he's preached that regarding Joshua 6 and 7. Thou shalt not covet. It's there in the passage. But the fact of the matter is, what I would submit to you is the lesson this story that is well known within the Word of God is, first and foremost, it is the law of first things that is taught there. I obey the law of first things, a command, because this principle, it, number one, the first part of all that God gives us is to be given back to Him. That's the principle of first things. Everything that we have, everything that you have today has been given to you by God. Do you understand that? You've got the pastorate that Pastor Dan has in Hillsdale, the pastorate that I've been able to be a part of with Rhonda for 33 years, the clothes on my back, the car that I drive, the house that we live in, the paycheck that we all receive. It's only because it's of God's grace. You say, well, I earned it. No, friends, make no mistake about it. God gave that to you. God blessed you with that. Yesterday, there was we were getting ready on the day of backpack and back to school, a celebration for Heart's Cry. Rhonda leaves very early, and she said, you bring the kids a little bit later, Brad. It starts about 11. Just get here whenever you can. And just as we were about ready to pack up, the fact is we looked across the street. We're out in the front yard and with the kids and Eli and Ellie, and there was a lady driving by with her daughter, a seventh grader, and she was driving by, and you could tell she had a flat tire. And she pulled into the side street there, and I'm like, you know, like you might have done, I'm wrestling with, do I go over and say, do you need any help? I got to get to this party. And I felt like I was supposed to go over and knock on the window. So I walk over there, and the windows are up, and the windows are tinted. I knock at the window, and the lady rolls down her window, and she's got her seventh grade daughter in the passenger seat. And I said, can I help you? And she said, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what I ought to do. I don't know if I should drive in this. I said, I don't think you should drive on that. And do you have AAA? No, I don't have AAA. I said, well, let me go over. I've got this air pump, and let's see if we can just pump up the tires. So I go over, walk over to the garage. It's about the front side of 23 away, and I get the pump and bring it back, and it pumps it up a little bit, and then it. But she said, "Can I drive on this?" I said, "Well, just drive a little bit, and we'll try and figure out if it's okay." And it wasn't safe for her to drive. She turned the car around. She's on the side street now, and she said, "I just don't know what to do." I said, "Ma'am, just use my car." She looked at me like I'd lost my mind. I said, really, well, I'll find a ride. I called Randy Berry. Randy Berry was so kind to come pick us up. But I said, just take our car. You can just have our car. And she said, really? I said, yeah, your daughter's got to get somewhere right now, you said, right? You can have my car. Why would I do that? Why would you do that? Because it's not mine anyway. It really isn't mine. My name's on the title, but it's God's car. You know, Randy came about 20 minutes later. The lady is gone, driving her daughter to where she needs to go. And we're driving down Brighton Road. And I said, there goes our car right now. True story. Ask Brother Randy or ask Eli. No. Ron and I were down in Florida for the conference. And the first night, it was a little bit slower. Every other day, it's like 7 o'clock breakfast. You got to be out there for the conference, and then you just go until you get home at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Well, we ended our presbytery meetings earlier on Monday, so I said, let's take the kids to get something to eat. And we have a rented car, and we're driving, and Eleanor said, I want to go to Raising Cane's. And I said, okay, we'll go to Raising Cane's, Al. And so, yeah, Surrey, tell us how to get to Raising Cane's. And it tells us to turn around. And we pull over, and we get directions, and we start heading there. And we come to Turkey Lake Road and Sand Lake Road in Orlando, if you know the area at all. And I start to take a left in the rent-a-car. And there's a homeless lady that she starts out across the street, and then she stops. And so she stops. I start to go, and then she starts to run. And I'm like, I got to slam on the brakes. I slam on the brakes, and I get rear-ended by a cyber truck with Ron and the kids. And you can ask Rhonda. Okay, I'm not saying it to pat myself on the back. The first thing, is everybody okay? Then I cried after that. But I, the fact is, I mentioned that, whether it's my car or a rent-a-car, can I just say, don't get in an accident with a rent-a-car. You want to talk about a hassle? I mean, it's beyond measure. But can I say this? None of those things are mine. I'm really just a renter of all this stuff that's on this earth. You are too. I want you to hear that. Everything that we have is the Lord's. And God has woven a principle into the universe where he gives us these gifts, and he expects and he commands that a portion that is to be given back to him. And in this covenant with us, say covenant. With this covenant with us, that if you give him in the law of first things, the first 10 cents of every dollar, he'll make the remaining 90% go further than if you had the whole 100% yourself. It's the law of first fruits in the word of God. Look at it in just three examples. First off, regarding livestock, Exodus chapter 34, the first offspring of every womb belongs to me, including all the firstborn males of your livestock, whether herd or flock. It was a law regarding the harvest. Exodus 34, 26, the best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. It was a principle that Solomon covers in the book of Proverbs. Honor, say honor. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits, say that, first fruits. First fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Some people say, well, Brad, you know what? That's the law. That's the Old Testament. My response to them is this. Look, this was a principle long before the Ten Commandments were given. It's a principle that was woven into creation. You may not like it. You may even disagree, but it's still there. It's in effect in our lives. Or what you could say, rather, would be, the wise thing would be, you know what, I believe this to be God's instructions for my life. And I'm going to obey this law, and God will honor me because I'm honoring him. You go back, you say, well, where was it before even the Ten Commandments were given? Look at Genesis chapter 4. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the firstborn, say firstborn, firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. What did Cain say, in essence? Brad's paraphrase. Well, I really ought to be able to choose what I give and when I give. But Abel regarded the Lord and the law and gave the firstborn of his flock and of his fat portions. And likewise, Brighton, when you and I, we give to the Lord, as I mentioned, the first dime of every dollar. But remember I said it wasn't just about money. When you and I give the Lord the first day of the week, we stop and we lift up a voice of praise with our children, with our grandchildren, with our friends. Lord, this week is yours. I come to Brighton AG or wherever you attend that are watching online. And on this first day of the week, I recognize, Lord, this is a day that you've given to me, but you've given me the whole week. I give you this first day to worship you. I have a friend that teaches in his life, and he shared it with me personally. He said, Brad, anytime I get, he's a pastor friend, mega church. He said, anytime I get a pay raise, you know what, just the principle that I incorporate is, I don't just give 10% of that pay raise. I just give that pay raise to the Lord. And I say, Lord, it's all because of you. I would say there's a corollary to this teaching. I obey the first things because the first part is what God has given us is to be given back. But secondly, what we do with the first part, Brighton, determines what happens to the rest. Jot that down. What we do with the first part determines what happens to the rest. There's a passage of scripture, and it can be somewhat just clouded if you don't understand the context. But look what Exodus 34:20 says. The firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. It says in the message, Peterson writes, redeem your firstborn donkey with a lamb. If you don't redeem it, you must break its neck. Can I give you what it really is, the interpretation? The Bible is saying there, you'd be better off not to have the donkey than to keep that which is God's. You see, if you keep the 10%, you'd be better off that you never had it than to keep it. There's a passage talking relative to this, and it's not on the screen, but jot down the reference. Haggai, the minor prophet, Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6. He said, you have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on your clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. It's almost like a sieve. You know what, you can work hard, but if you don't give that first things unto the Lord, man, it just never multiplies the way that God intends it to happen in your life. Because it's just not okay to go let that law go by the wayside. Here's what I've come to realize with regard to this law, Brighton, on a first level basis. If you give the Lord what he requires, then you love this law. Because everything that you have is blessed. Look at that passage in Proverbs we quoted earlier, Proverbs chapter 3. Look at the tail end of that. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Man, people that are following the law of first things, they love this law. Because they say, you know what, God? I just wait with the expectation. What I've given, I just wait to see how you're going to give it back. How many of you have already experienced that in your life? Amen. It's an amazing way to live. You just look and you say, you know what, Lord? That was you. That was you. Was a minister, you remember Jared Michael. Jared Michael is the son of my roommate in college. He was planting a church in Baltimore. You remember he came in the fall of 2023 to speak here. And one of the reasons that he came on that particular weekend, he said, Pastor Brad, I've always wanted to go to a U of M football game. I want to go to a game at the Big House. I said, well, if we pick this weekend when you're going to speak regarding missions, you remember he was just right down in the crack houses in the inner city of Baltimore. But if we picked the weekend that there was a night game that Michigan was playing the Purdue Boilermakers in their national championship season, Michigan's. And if we scheduled it, I said, we'll take you to the game. And so Jared and I got in the car and we went down to the game. And quite honestly, I enjoy like hustling a ticket before the game more than I do even attending the game. It's not illegal. It's only illegal for the person that's selling it more than the ticket costs. That's just the truth. Ask my wife. She and I arrested at a church event selling a couple of extra tickets, but that's another story. So I said, you know what? We'll go down and we'll buy tickets from somebody. So, I mean, the night games at U of M, they're even more popular than the day games. And we got there an hour early, and I'm looking around, and all the tickets are twice the face value. And I'm like, Jared, you know what? I want you to go in, but I'm not paying twice as much for the ticket. Oh, you do understand. He's like, okay. So it's about 15 minutes before the game, and I'm like, Lord, you got to help us. This kid came up here. He wants to see U of M. He's not going to enjoy watching it from Buffalo Wild Wings. And so I'm out on the corner. Need two. I'm out there about 20 minutes, and man, thousands of people are walking by. He's like, you know, Pastor Brad, do you think we're going to get in? I'm like, brother, I don't want to hear that negative faith. Need two. About 15 minutes before the game, I didn't even see the lady walk up. She walks behind me and taps me on the shoulder. She said, you need two tickets? I said, I do. She said, these are like $140 each. You know what? Why don't you just give me $30 for each of them? I said, sold right there. Can I just say to you, Brian? Now, here's how I live. That isn't by accident. That's God's blessing. That is God's favor. I mean, I've seen it in my family's life over the course of time. Over and over again. The blessing of God upon our lives when we do it his way. Look at Abraham. The word says this, or back up to it, about Abel. Look at this, Genesis 4. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. Now look at this. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Gets ticked off. I don't like your law, Lord. And he becomes the first murderer. Genesis chapter 22. Look at Abraham. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this. What did he do? Stop right there. God asked him, give me your firstborn son, Isaac. Give me the boy. He lays his son down. The Lord says, stop. You've passed the test. It was all about a test. He's willing to do that. And the fact of the matter is, because you've done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all nations of earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Brighton, what am I getting at? You're going to conquer and be victorious and be blessed when you do it his way. Now go with me. to the passage that we're on today, Joshua chapter 6, tail end of 6, and chapter 7. And this principle is going to be demonstrative in this passage. Because what is Jericho? Say Jericho. We covered it last week. Are you with me? Jericho is the first city. It's the first conquest. And all those things, because that's God's. All these things are to be devoted and given unto the Lord. Look what the word says, Joshua 6, 16 through 19. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, say shout. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it is to be devoted to the Lord. Why is that? It's the law first things. The first city in the promised land. It's the first place that they're taking. It belongs to who? Say it nice. Nice and loud. Belongs to God. Stop right here. Here's the beauty of studying God's word. How many of you want to learn something today? You know what's amazing? How it interacts with culture and with history. Go back to 1994. Remember the Palestinian leader, Yasser Arafat? They're involved in the peace accords in 1994, trying to plot out the land, the same issues we have now, we had back then. But what did Yasser Arafat ask for? Anybody remember? He asked for Jericho. Why? Because Jericho represented the first land that God gave the Hebrew, the Israelite people. I mean, it all makes sense. He wants to disavow that. But the fact is, look what it says. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. God is saying, this will be the first of many cities that you're going to conquer. And the first belongs to me. Don't keep any of it. Don't hold one thing. If you don't do that, then everything that you have is going to be cursed. Jericho is the first city, so it belongs to me. But look what happens. Chapter 7. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, son of Zerah. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, verse 2, which is near Beth Aven to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the men will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. So here's what Joshua does. Look at verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there until evening. And here's what God's response is. Verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They've taken some of the devoted things they have stolen. They have lied. They have put them in their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever you among you is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate. Say consecrate. Consecrate just means be clean. Do it God's way. Go consecrate the people. Tell them to consecrate themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted, here it is, among you. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. What I keep, when I keep what belongs to God, then everything that I have is cursed by God. It's the word of God. Don't get ticked off at the messenger. I'm just sharing the word of God. When I keep what is to be devoted to God, everything else I have doesn't have God's blessing. And you have to understand this because we're in covenant relationship. I have another good friend in the ministry. I won't go into the details of it, but the district, the Assemblies of God, asked him to move from one part of the state to another part of the state that he was pastoring. He had a very successful pastorate. And he said, okay, when I sell the house, then I'll be glad to move. And the district brother said, you know what? Sometimes you got to step into the waters and you got to step out. And so he said, okay, I'll try and sell the house, but I'll make the move across state. And the house didn't sell right away. And he called the district brothers and he said, you know what? You told me to step into the waters. Well, the waters are right up to my forehead right now. And what am I going to do? They said, well, you know what? Hey, we're praying with you. And he said to me, he said, Brad, anytime they say brothers, I know I'm in trouble. I know they're not going to help me out. But he said, you know what? They foreclosed on his house and he had 10 days before the foreclosure was finalized. They foreclosed on it. They auctioned his house, he and his wife's house off on the courthouse steps. And then he had 10 days to come up with the money. Otherwise, it was sold. And he said, the notice came 3 days later. So he said, I had about a week. But right at the last hour, he was saying, Lord, you know what? They foreclosed, but I'm in covenant with you. And I've obeyed your word. I tithe. I give my resources. And it was at the 11th hour. God showed up an offering from nowhere to them personally. Now, fast forward in that story. He'll tell you, he does this, but they were foreclosed on. They moved to another city to pastor this mega church. And the fact of the matter is, the banker in the mega church town says, you know what? Yeah, you should check that box, you know what, that you've been foreclosed on. But if you do that, you'll never get the loan for the house that you're in now. And he said, Brad, I stood on the word of God. Psalm 15:5 says, keep your word even when it costs you. And he said, I told the banker, you know what, I know what you're saying, but the fact of the matter is I'm talking over with my wife, and we're going to check the box that we've been foreclosed on before, because that's what happened. God showed up, but I was foreclosed on. And he checked the box that he had been foreclosed on. And the bank ended up giving him a loan. It so spoke to the banker, the godless banker. The banker said, I want to attend your church. He shows up at the church today. That banker, he gave his life to the Lord on a missions trip. Didn't even know the Lord. He prayed the prayer of salvation on a missions trip in Panama. That banker is pastoring a church of 4,000 people in California today. Hey. True story. Why? Because our God is a covenant-keeping God. When you keep your covenant with him, make no mistake about it, he'll cover his sin. He'll take care of you. He doesn't need you to remind him, but he doesn't mind when you remind him. Lord, I'm in covenant with you. So 500, let's do just a little side note, and then I'll close. If you fast forward from this 580 years, this is about 1400 or 1500 BC. Now go, because you're counting down, go into the mid-900s, if you will. And you'll see how God works in this. The word says, remember wicked King Ahab? I like what Martha Tennyson said. You know what? He was married to one of the Bell sisters, Jezebel. I mean, she was a nasty person, probably a priestess from a pagan god. And Ahab is just, there's nothing redeemable about this guy. He's just totally and completely, I mean, he's had people murdered. He's totally just a godless leader. But look what happens in 1 Kings 16, 580 years later. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal. Remember I said it's a pagan priestess, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, and he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole, a sexual inclination pole to their goddess, and did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, than all the kings of Israel before him. Go down to verse 34. In Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of the firstborn son of Abiram, and he set up its gates at the cost of the youngest son, Segub, in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua, son of Nun. This is 600 years later. And what was the word? Look at how God keeps his word. That city was to be dedicated unto the Lord. Go back to Joshua 6 now. Look what it says. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath. Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates. Why was it, Brighton? All the way back there, it was a city that was devoted to God. It was the law of first things. Nobody had a right to it. Nobody had the right to rebuild it. Nothing is greater in our lives than the reign of Almighty God. When we say everything is to be done your way, Lord, He wants us to live that way. And there was nothing exemplary about Ahab's leadership. He kind of just said, oh yeah, Hiel, go ahead, rebuild, whatever you want to do. But it cost that man his firstborn. And we see it in the word of God. So let's apply it to our lives. How we handle our time, say time. Our treasure, say treasure. And our talent. It's important. Everything we are doing, right? Everything that we're doing is sowing seeds. We're either sowing for God's blessings or we're sowing for destruction. There's really no neutral ground in this. Either it's laying a foundation for blessing in our lives or it's diminishing the blessing in our lives. We're sowing and we're reaping all the time. The word of the Lord tells us this. Paul, the apostle, writes to the church at Galatia. It's not on the screen, but jot down. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. It's easy to remember. 6, 7, 8. Chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. What's he saying? Hey, listen up. This is important. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. All of us in our lives, we're sowing in every element of life. You know what? When I loan that lady my car, you know what? It isn't my car. It's God's car. But the fact of the matter is, I have management over it, but God's going to pour it back into my life. I'm sure of that. Rhonda might break down and need somebody to help her, but somewhere along the line, God will be a debtor to no man. When you do it God's way, when you're sowing seeds to bless, he's going to pour it back into your lives. Three of you believe that. That's good. It's the word of God, friends. And people that understand this, they get it. But the fact of the matter is, the same's true on the other end. When we don't live this way, we can't command the blessing. Does God love you as much as he loves the person that's doing it the right way? Absolutely. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no hierarchy in this. The ground's level at Calvary. It's talking about the blessing of God that comes to your life. You say, Pastor, man, finances must be pretty sad at Brighton AG. You're preaching on it. Friends, we're going to make it no matter what because it's him I serve. It isn't my motivation. We're up over last year. God provides. You know what? I don't know what you give. I don't know what you don't give. I'm not preaching this out of any motivation except I preach line upon line, precept upon precept, and we came to Joshua chapter 6 and 7. That's how it is. I promise you. But the fact of the matter is, in our lives, let's talk about time for a moment. Talk treasure. Time. Sometimes I'll get somebody to say something like, when I first started the church, Ron and I, first year we're here, we had started with 12 people. We made a few decisions. We were down to about 6 people. And it's just how it works, right? But I remember one of the cornerstone families of the church plant, about week 3, we started September 13th, 1992. Right around first part of October, this lady says to me, you know, hey, see you after the new year. Taking some extra hours at Walmart, we won't be in church for a few months. And I was as green as could be. You know what? I just kind of smiled and, okay. You know what? Don't say that to me today. I won't smile and say, that's okay. You know what? I look at people and, hey, be careful. Be careful. What your kids see you do in moderation, they're going to do in excess. Hey, you check out for the whole summer? You know what? Hey, be careful. You choose on Sunday mornings? I'm a sports guy as much as anybody of those. I love sports. I'm glad my kids want to play sports. I don't know where I would be, my personality, without sports. I needed that competitive edge. It built self-esteem in my life. But, man, it was under the moderation of my parents. I wouldn't have been on traveling teams missing church on a regular basis when I was supposed to be in church. Now, that ticked a couple of people off, just me saying it. But I'm going to give an account to God before I'm going to give an account to you. And, friends, the law of God works. Our time, our treasure, our talent. When you dedicate those things unto the Lord, I want you to know the fact is all of it gets blessed. All of it gets blessed. So let's repeat it. Jot it down. God owns everything. Secondly, God provides everything. God wants the first portion. He wants the first portion, the law of first things. And what you do with the first portion determines what happens to the rest. And secondly, as the worship team comes back, in order to conquer, we need God's help and his blessings. In order to really take on the enemy and conquer, we need God's favor and his blessing. So look at that story again. You know, the guys come back from spying it out. AI is like Michigan playing the Sisters of the Poor. You know what? No big deal. Don't need the whole army, Joshua. Hey, just send up 2,000 or 3,000 and we'll be okay. But what was the problem? They didn't have the blessing of God. They didn't have God's blessing. And there they are, and the little Sisters of the Poor beat up the Division I team, Israelites, and 36 men lost their lives. Wives didn't see their husband come home from war. Kids woke up absent a dad because they didn't have the blessing of God. They get it right. They say, hey, these things we dedicated unto the Lord. Lord, we give it back to you. Forgive us. No problem. They go back and they totally wipe the floor with AI. Second time round. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Stand with me, would you, Bright? And I want to just put a cap on this if I can. Let's bring it to New Testament time. Go to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Are you with me? Say amen. Matthew chapter 5 through 7. There's a passage there that whenever I go to guest speak at a church or a district, many times I'll preach on it because I felt like the Lord gave it to me for the entire body. And it's where Jesus talks about not worrying. And he covers in chapter 6 of Matthew, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you know what? Don't worry about your finances. You know what? Lay up treasures not on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves can break in and steal. Lay up treasures in heaven. Chapter 6, verse 19. Then he talks about the food. He said, don't worry about your food. He said, don't worry about the clothes that you wear. You know what? I'll take care of all that. He said, don't worry about you by you worrying about things or caring about it to the degree that you put that as a God. You know what? It can't add a cubit to your height. It can't add a minute to your day. He talks about finances. He talks about food. He talks about fashion. He talks about fitness. He'll take care of your body. And then he says, you know what? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough issues of its own. Don't open up your umbrella until it starts to rain. Just live in today. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is your present. Open your gift. Today is your present. He says, don't worry about all those things. And then how does he close? Do you remember? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. First fruits. Are you with me? Say amen. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all these things unto you. What things? Those five F's. You'll get all that. Just put him first. Just make sure he's first priority. Because when you put the law of first things in effect, Lord, it's all about you. Not about the house, not about the car, not about the career, not about what I want, Lord, but I seek first your favor. I want your blessing upon my life. He'll add all the other things unto you. It works. It works. So sing this with us. I know it's been a tough word. Pastor Dan, I'm sorry you had to come and visit on a day like this. I don't preach about money very often. But I love this church. And it's the word of God. Sing this with us. Give us clean hands. Give us a pure heart. Would you do that right now?
We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast out our idols.
Lift those hands.
Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us now lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure heart. Let us now lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us alone.
bowed and every eye closed, and those of you that are watching online, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, friends, today is your day. Right now, wherever you're watching, if you have the ability to pull it up right now, go to brightonag.org/next, and we'll lead you in the path of salvation. It's the greatest decision that you could ever make, as you surrender your life to Jesus and say, Lord, it makes sense, but make sense out of my life as I surrender to your lordship. You're first and foremost who I'm seeking.